Motorcycle Update.
All right, well, here we are. The episode you've all been waiting for. CryptoTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I'm your host. We have our weekend special continuing the Saitama saga, the bullshit that is. I gave you a commitment I was going to do more because there's a lot more. And I think this weekend and then next weekend, I think we're about wrapped up because there's a lot of, you know, secondary players in this nonsense that I don't think warrant a full episode. And I may just kind of do scatterings, but there's a lot to piece together. And unfortunately, some of the trail has been deleted by the person I refer to as the cult leader, Russell Armand. For those that are new, by the way, welcome. If you're new, you're going to hear me say the term cult leader on a frequent occasion. And that refers to Russell Armand because I refer to him as cult leader because at the time this was all going down. So we're talking 2021 and to a lesser degree, 2022. On Twitter, there was a trending hashtag. It literally was a trending hashtag, #RussWeTrust. I termed them the Russ We Trust cult because what had happened is the guy developed a cult because what he would do is go up on AMAs that are not really AMAs. And he would go up on videos where he gets softballed and he'd go up on platforms like Twitter and do spaces. And he'd give all these fluffy promises and BS dates and everything else. And the fake people out there, the eggs, and you know, remember Twitter used to have eggs, the eggs and all the bots and everybody was pushing this hashtag to the moon of Russ We Trust. And as a result, I refer to him as cult leader because arguably that was the first semblance I can recall of a true cult because Doge never got to a point of being a cult. Saitama just created a cult. And then after everything crashed and burned with Saitama, then some of the disgruntled of that group created a sub cult. And they're the people that partnered up with Christina when they were trying to expose the dirt about what happened to Russ, which I'll get to near the end. But then they went off and created their own project called Cult DAO to kind of promote the fact that they were a cult. And so you will hear me refer to him as cult leader because he started this narrative of cults in cryptocurrency, arguably. I digress. We're going to start from the beginning. I think it's important. And again, I stress some of the information is lost to time. I could probably pull it from archive.org. I'm not going to do it because he ain't worth the time. But I want to make sure people understand that weren't in it. So this is a combination of information that's out there that you can find yourself to be the truth, as well as my own personal experience and the case information around the cult leader. Let me just stress right up front. Cult leader was arguably a mark. When I say a mark, I'm not suggesting he was not enriched. He absolutely was enriched. He flossed it on a regular basis. What I'm saying when I say he's a mark, he was a mark because they put him as the face of the brand. What was known as Saitama Ingyu, they put him as the face, called him a chief operating officer, if I recall. They put him as a face to take all the beatings when everything was failed. After the failed November 13th Vegas event, after the repeated failures of Cytomask, after all the failures of the team, they had him be basically the face of the brand and take the brunt of the abuse from what was termed the Saitama Wolfpack at the time. I think, in my opinion, they set him up. He got money. So let's not keep it twisted. He got money. He got paid. He certainly got his. I'm saying that he got the worst of what would happen with this business. It wasn't Manny the Rug Puller. It wasn't Max Hernandez. It damn sure wasn't Nam. It wasn't Aaron Mansoor. It wasn't Willie D. None of the rest of them got it anywhere near with Vaseline off the side like Cult Leader did. And I'm going to talk you through why I believe what that is as part of this episode. Hopefully you enjoy it. Follow me along on this magic carpet ride, if you will. We have to go back a ways. We have to understand what really happened with this journey. Russ actually served in the military. He served in the Navy. And in his tour of duty, he got 2 degrees. Now, here's the first flag, the first klaxon, the first red flag of information given because there was a path he took in cryptocurrency that led him to Saitama, but we need to understand the person behind it. When he served his tour of duty, okay, he got an associate's degree in applied science. Doesn't matter about the degree and the nature of the degree, but it's important to understand that it's legitimate that he got an associate's in applied science degree while he was serving in the military. He served in the military 8 years. He served in Iraq. He served in Spain. He was still doing education, continuing education. Where it branched off and started to go south is questions around the nature of his education. There was a statement made, and he himself put it out there, that he got an MBA in business management and that he ran, quote unquote, a subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway, that he sold it and that he went back to the Department of Defense. We would hear later from Christina, who went on the Subcult channel led by Faltron, that the Berkshire Hathaway thing was not true, that ultimately the company went bankrupt. It's not that he sold it. It's not that he was successful. It went bankrupt, and that he didn't have an MBA. Russ himself said, no, I have a finance degree. Christina put up an image that said, no, this is his degree, and it's basically a regular bachelor's in business. For those that don't understand the United States education system, a bachelor's degree is not the same as an MBA. They are different, fundamentally different degrees. They're different levels of degree. An MBA usually comes after the bachelor's degree, two more years of college above and beyond the bachelor's degree. But the mystery started, and the reason I said the red flag started there, Christina basically said, he told you that he went to finance school. He took finance and his degree was in finance, and that wasn't true. He told people that he had an MBA, and allegedly that wasn't true. I couldn't find any evidence that he had an MBA. The information would not have been public. The only degree that we saw was the image that Christina shared, which was a regular bachelor's of business from the University of Phoenix. So we don't know for sure that he did or didn't have an MBA. The question is, if he had an MBA, why wouldn't he have promoted that instead of a degree in finance? Because an MBA should theoretically put him from a credential perspective above somebody that did a regular bachelor's in finance. If he truly had an MBA, then why would Christina present this bachelor's in business from the University of Phoenix? And the dates on the degree for University of Phoenix seem to correlate to the dates that he would have taken this MBA course. So we don't really understand what his educational background truly was. We knew he took business school in college. That's all we knew. And this seemed to happen when he was serving his tour of duty. That's fine. But then we get this mystery about Berkshire Hathaway, which we never solved. We don't know if he truly was working with some sort of subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway. We don't know if he truly sold it or it went bankrupt. The bankruptcy information would theoretically be out there. I could find no evidence that he was in charge of any such a company. So we don't know what the story was there. We move on. Fast forward, and now we see that he's associated with a project called Hoge Finance. Hoge Finance still exists. This is just before he joined Satama. So you're figuring probably about May, April, somewhere time frame of 2021. The Hoge Finance team puts out that they're going into governance. They're going to change the governance. They were working to try to get on a top five exchange, per their words. They then create this governance model where they're going to give it over to the community. And a bunch of people are quoted as being involved with the drafts for the documents for the governance for Hoge Finance. Did you follow what I just said? One of the names listed in this is Russell Armand. Okay. There's no additional data or documentation or evidence. I could probably find an archive.org. I'm not going to. He's not worth it. The point is, there's no openly available information that connects Russ to Hoge Finance other than this particular notification coming out of Hoge Finance. And this was their nation.hoge.finance site that no longer exists. So we know that Russ was involved with Hoge Finance prior to him coming to Saitama. The thing is, there were messages on Twitter at the time that gave the impression that he was still involved with Hoge Finance even after he joined Saitama. And what Russ said when he was interviewed was that he was essentially an investor. He came in just investing in Saitama in the early phases. This is when allegedly V had launched the project, and the statement made was that Russ bought it. He bought the tokens himself as an early whale. We would learn later in the case against V that allegedly V had distributed tokens to many of the early first developers of the project, and we would understand that Russ was considered one of the developers of the project. So did he buy the tokens or was he given the tokens? We don't have a firm answer, but what we do know is that V sold roughly 69,000 worth of Saitama in the early phases to a bunch of people early on. Is it possible that V did not give the tokens to Russ? V sold the tokens to Russ at a low price and happened to sell the vast majority of them, which gave him a large bag, which later, leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event, after the unreasonable pumps that were triggered halfway by V, halfway by the team, that's the reason why Russ and Christina, to a lesser degree, would end up being enriched is because of the tokens that they bought early on. So although being devs of the project, it wasn't necessarily that they were granted tokens, but rather that they were sold tokens. Well, then the question, if all this is what happened, if he was sold tokens at a rock bottom discount price to the point that he would have ended up at a major bag, but it legitimately was money that he fronted, and then he later sold off the bag, you got two ethical quandaries going. One, the selling at a rock bottom price, arguably prior to when it was on the open market, that everybody else didn't get a chance to buy at those rock bottom prices, and you sell it to people inside and then trigger these artificial pumps, AKA wash trading, to the point clear right near the failed November 13th Vegas event, where they're able to just clear millions and millions of dollars. I am asking the question, is it possible that they were working together with a deal, under table deal, that they weren't going to launch the project on the open market until these key people, including cult leader, were able to purchase bags of it such that they knew how much they were going to get after the run-up, and they were trying to trigger. And so this narrative that we would hear from V's coverage, go back and listen to that, where they were trying to get rid of one of the whales, and I speculated it might be Aaron Mansoor via some fallout. I can't say that's what happened. I'm saying, is it possible that now they're colluding together to get rid of Aaron and get them out because they knew that if Aaron dumped it, it would jeopardize how much money they would clear off the sales? Follow me, because it goes down a little bit further on the rabbit hole on Mr. Cult Leader here. At the time that Russ was involved with Hoge Finance was initially launched February 2021 with 1 trillion tokens. Half burned at launch. They did the reflection mechanic, 2% tax, 1% burn, 1% redistribution reflection rewards. Does that sound familiar? Well, it should sound familiar because it's very similar to the mechanics we would see for Saitama when it ran. After Russ leaves, allegedly, Cult Leader leaves Hoge Finance. He joins Saitama that has very similar mechanics, shilled and pitched by VFAM. The reason I'm connecting the dots between the two and the similarity of the two is that later, this is now January 2022, so Cult Leader is allegedly all in on Saitama after the failed November 13th Vegas event, and January is roughly around when the first variation of Cytomask gets released to the public. Hoge Finance gets new moderation in the Reddit chat. The moderator makes the statement, and I'm going to quote the person directly because when I read it, I was kind of shocked. It doesn't surprise me, but I was kind of shocked to see that. But essentially what they said in direct words is they're making the impression that what we ended up with in January and the formation of the governance and the changes of Hoge Finance is not the same as what it was initially envisioned to be. In the V coverage, I saw in the statements made from the SEC in the court case that V originally made Saitama Inu to basically take people's money. It was a pump and dump scam. And that's largely the reason they were going after V, was Saitama's a pump and dump scam, we're going after it. Hoge was not named in the case, but this moderator in Reddit, as of January 2022, gave a statement, quote, "This project," as in Hoge Finance, "was initially started," so that would be February 2021, just prior to the creation of Saitama Inu, "initially started as a pump and dump and abandoned after a few days of inception," end quote. So, February 2021, a project is created. Russ is associated with the project in some way, named directly from the Hoge Finance team. Leaves Hoge Finance, joins up with this Saitama, allegedly as an investor per his words. V, per the case document, has sold roughly $69,000 worth of the initial set of tokens to someone at the launch of Saitama. So you talk about a three-span period of time. You have Project One, which by admission was envisioned as a pump and dump and then abandoned. Russ leaves. Russ joins Saitama. Russ, by his statement, is an initial investor. B, sells $69,000 worth of Saitama tokens. Are you connecting the dots of what of the picture I'm drawing here, Bob Ross style? I take my brush, I beat it because I'm painting a picture here of connection for Russ and his journey to Saitama and likely the motivation behind him getting in the project. Can I prove any of this? No, I'm simply going off statements made from him, statements made in the case file against V, statements made on Hoge Finance official account in Reddit, and statements made by the official moderator, who at the time was not a moderator, but became a moderator when he made the statement, that there is a possibility that Hoge Finance was created as a pump and dump. That was the admitted statement. And that Russ left that pump and dump, helped them create governance, moved on, took the money with him, went over to Saitama, made a deal with V to buy tokens on the dirt cheap before it was made available on the open market to everybody else, knowing that the pump that V would then initiate for Saitama leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event would make him a celebrity, an overnight millionaire. That is the painting that I'm putting together. I don't have any evidence. I'm going simply off of the information that was made available. Let's dig into the case docs and see if we can add a little bit more smoke to the fire. Now, the case document calls out all of the people involved in Saitama at the early phase. I'll run down the list, starting with cult leader. Obviously, he was at the top of the business. Nam, he was in there. Max Hernandez was in there. Manny the rug puller, he was in there. Here's the thing, though. The case document actually makes an effort to specify that Max Hernandez, Max Equation, was not involved in any way in Cider Realty. It actually calls out cult leader, Manny the Rug Puller, and Nam Tran as the ones involved with Cider Realty. This may indicate that his departure, because remember, when he departed, the statement he made was he was going to be off doing something else, working on something else. And people thought it might be Cider Realty, Cider Logistics, or something else. Cider Logistics is not called out anywhere in the document. So we don't exactly know why it is that Max Hernandez, Max Equation, was specifically excluded on the Cider Realty side, but cult leader and all the other ones were still called out specifically on that one. And then, of course, you know, Max Hernandez was called out for Saitama, which implies that Max Hernandez had a bag that he dumped on investors leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event. Then we get to the juicy stuff, quote, defendants made material misrepresentations via these channels, as in online social media, about the nature and functionality of Saitama, the applications and platforms they were developing to support Saitama, and their own transactions involving Saitama, falsely telling the investing public, for example, that defendants had never sold their Saitama holdings and that they intended to hold their Saitama while they were, in fact, dumping the crypto asset on unsuspecting retail investors. Defendants also promoted the launch of a new crypto asset trading platform related to Saitama throughout the fall of 2021. So they're talking about leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event, despite knowing that the platform would not be ready by the promised launch date. Meanwhile, as the doomed launch date approached, defendants sold additional large portions of their Saitama holdings to unsuspecting investors. Stop. Anybody who was on Twitter at the time will have heard cult leader multiple times say he had not sold any tokens, that he was holding, he hadn't sold any. And Leister at CryptoTalk.fm, as well as many others, not named Jake again, called out how tone deaf it was that cult leader was flossing his Lambo and he lied to you when he told you, no, I had this before I got in this. I had this before this. This didn't come from sales. I haven't sold anything. And Christina said he was lying, but couldn't prove it. She didn't provide any proof that they did. And then she was putting posts up talking about new land that they bought, mama's new whip. She was flossing in your face. And I said that you guys are practicing a form of confirmation bias, listening to the sub cult that's allowing her to rant a woman scorned when she was right there living the good life, and she only spoke out when cult leader went off on a coke binge with her friend that they had a threesome with, off in Dubai, allegedly, and the photos that Christina shared. But point is, cult leader and Christina both were enriched off of your money leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event and the hype. That's called a pump and dump scheme, if you didn't know that. They were dumping off. Now, what I said is, in my confirmation bias video, is if they own the tokens and they sold the tokens, there's nothing, quote, wrong. That was based on the premise that they weren't pumping the token, which we would learn later via VFAM. That VFAM, and according to this, all of the different people involved in Saitama were allegedly working together with this whole scheme to pump the token. That changes the game, because if they bought the tokens on the cheap, that's ethical number one. You bought them at a dirt cheap price before releasing it to everybody else to buy, which means you were already at the rock bottom. And so when you sell, you're hurting the project even more, especially when you're doing artificial pumps to get you there. So yes, they had the tokens. They own the tokens. Whether they bought them or they were given the tokens, they own the tokens. It wasn't like they drained it out of liquidity. But if you're part of a scheme to pump said token while you hold the tokens as a dev and nobody knows that and you're denying it and lying, and then you lie about selling, now you start to get into the real problem. The real root of the matter is the pump and dump that they did. And the government allegedly says, no, we have evidence they were essentially dumping on your head the whole time leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event. And I said, look at the date on this truck that she's flossing, Christina. There's no way she bought that truck anywhere except in the month of November, right around this time. Mind you as well, November is right when Lily Finance, remember Lily Finance, not Lillian Finance, Lily Finance with Brad Beatty, who will be on a different episode. Lily Finance, the announcements made that Lily Finance is going to launch on Saitama on the site of Mask in November. What the case document specifically telling you is that what I said to be the truth on my last weekend episode, there was no site of Mask. It didn't exist. They lied to you. Since there was no site of Mask and it didn't exist, the whole Lily thing was smoke. Whether Brad knew that, we don't know. We'll talk about that on his episode, whenever the hell we get to that one. The point is, Cytomask didn't exist. It was a fake and phony bull. They lied to you. November was smoke. October was smoke. All of the stuff they told you was smoke. It was all fake. Do we know that the doctors on Terrarium were aware that there was no Cytomask? Do we know that for sure? We don't. The point is, Cytomask was fake. Do we know that Lillian Finance and Brad Beatty knew that there was no freaking mask? We don't know. The point is, Cytomask was fake. Do you remember all the chatter about all the ones they were trying to get listed on this business? Suzuki Inu turned out to be a rug pull. Luffy pulled out at the last minute. Lily Finance at the time, pulled out at the last minute. Mononoke, allegedly, Russ was involved with Mononoke to some degree. Mononoke doesn't go. None of the ones that they talked about getting on Cytomask went forward. The only one that got even close, and I think they're still somewhat associated, was Mazematic, and it still exists somewhere. What I'm saying, if you look at just the month of November 2021, what we are learning is that 2021 was nothing but smoke and mirrors. They knew long before they opened up tickets for that failed event in Vegas. Did they tell Jake Gagne that there wasn't going to be a damn mask? I bet you they didn't. I bet you Jake didn't know. You know why? Because he was a mark. That's what I've been telling you. He was a mark. They used him to deflect. And yes, it's true. Online, they told people, there's not going to be a mask. We're just going to celebrate. The mask isn't ready yet, is what they said. But it didn't even exist. So saying it's not ready yet versus it just don't fucking exist. Let's be honest here. They knew what it was. They used Jake Gagne as the mark for that event and used alcohol and allegedly hookers and blow. I can't confirm the second, but the point is, they used all these as deflections to hide the fact they didn't have a mask. The mask didn't exist. There was no mask. Why am I repeating it 20 times? Because I get tired of people in the cult who were defending cult leader all this time, saying the mask is there, the mask is real, the mask exists, and you now got exposed with your pants down and Vaseline off the side because the court case just affirms there was no mask. It wasn't there. Okay. It wasn't there. So now that you understand that it wasn't there, now everything else that comes after becomes more clear about what got us to cytochain and why you have to start pointing at Manny the rug puller as involved in the situation, not this saint that some have praised him as. Let's keep going. Saitama LLC, with respect to the United States, was formed in the state of Massachusetts in August 2021, dissolved in June 2022. That's when they said, we're going to move operations to Dubai. It's easier for us to do business in Dubai, and so we're going to just leave. I did a video on YouTube where I said, look, it's cool to have a presence in Dubai. It's a tech sector. I have an issue with you ducking out of the United States because you're going to lose sight of the regulatory spectrum in the United States that I think is critical for you to have as part of this journey. And I questioned them leaving the U.S. I did not question them going to Dubai as an additional office or even have the headquarters out there. I just said, why is it that you're leaving the United States? This that we're seeing now is the reason why I had that beef on this business. But what we would learn also, Russ, when Lilly Finance, when that whole thing fell through after the failed November 13th Vegas event, Brad Beatty comes out on social media and says, we can't wait any longer. We got kids to save. He straight said these words. And so they're going to launch it on Uniswap. They were initially going to be exclusive on Cytomask, but the fucking thing didn't exist. So, okay, they got to go on Uniswap. That was a catastrophic failure because, and this is theory, I have no evidence. The theory is that Del Rugpull, aka Del Crypto, was involved in it and somehow got access to tokens early and dumped off the project before it launched. And I said, no matter what the hell happened, you should relaunch it as fair because this wasn't fair. They didn't relaunch it until later. But by that point, the damage was done. Bleez did a bunch of rant videos about the money he lost along the way of this and how he got somebody, I think Barney, he said, and fixed it. Well, was it really fixed? Because he still lost money on it. The point is, Lilly Finance was a shit show after this, and it was connected to Saitama. But when Lilly goes its own way and it goes off and says, okay, there was questions asked about what was the involvement between Russ, cult leader, and Lilly and Brad Beatty and Lilly Finance. When Brad's fraud case came back up as fraud that he's got a criminal record for, Brad's wife, and I'm not going to deal to him on Brad because it's not for this, but Brad's wife said some statements. I refuted them on a video that I did, but I also said, Russ told people online he had nothing to do with Lilly Finance. That was bullshit because I showed evidence, and I believe it might have been Rodney, Crypto Journey, somebody else came up with the same that showed, no, bro, you sent money to Lilly Finance. What we would also learn is effective December 19th, 2021, there was a dissolution filing that took place in the state of Texas. For those who weren't paying attention, Russell Armand, cult leader, lives in the state of Texas. There was a formation of an LLC called Saitama-Lilly Finance LLC that existed in the state of Texas, got dissolved in December. This was formed by Russell Armand, chief operating officer and director. So let's be clear here. There was an LLC formed to link Saitama and Lilly Finance, and it was dissolved in December when Brad decided to go his own way. But prior to then, there was an active LLC that linked cult leader to Lilly Finance during the time of the failed November 13th Vegas event. He lied to you about not being involved. Do you still not believe me? November 1st of 2021 in the state of Florida, an LLC is formed, Lilly Finance LLC. Again, let me repeat this for you. Filed, this is beginning of January, or November rather, November 1st, 2021. Took effect November 11th, 2021. November 11th is right around the time. So this is before the failed Vegas event. 2 days before the failed Vegas event, We have an effective date for Lilly Finance LLC. Who requested formation of this? Brad Beatty. Brad Beatty of Lilly and Finance requested this formation. Well, what's the problem with that? I'll tell you what the problem is with this. The formation document has to, when you form an LLC, you have to declare all the members or authorized persons to manage the LLC. Who's listed? Brad Beatty is the managing member. Authorized person, Russell Armand. Same address. Russ was on Lilly Finance as an actual authorized managing person for Lilly Finance 2 days prior to the failed November 13th Vegas event, despite the fact there was no damn mask for Lilly Finance to go on, and despite the fact there was no token existing at that time. Theory, tinfoil though I might be, is it possible that Russ, cult leader, and Brad were colluding together to do another pump and dump, which actually did happen, a pump and dump, and there was a falling out between him and Brad to where Russ gets cut out of it, and Brad says he's just going to take the whole shot. I don't know. I'm saying Lilly had a pump and dump. How can you look at Hoge allegedly stated started as a pump and dump? Saitama, in case, stated to be a pump and dump. Lilly Finance stated to be a pump and dump. How can you have so many pump and dumps all circling around the cult leader and call it nothing but coincidence? At what point do you say, you know, where there's smoke, there's some fire here, and there's something this dude's involved in. Either he's a criminal or a blistering idiot. This is what I suspect the government did, is they said, come on, man. Come on. Do you really think we're that stupid at this point? You left so much. This is worse than the OJ bloody glove over here, drip blood up the thing here and bang the wall. That's what this is. Leaving all this trail of evidence all over the place. This guy, cult leader, and then openly goes up on the air, openly promotes essentially securities. The case document says Saitama Security, Saitama Realty Security. Okay, so he's promoting securities. Remember, he told you all these different projects, like say Saitama Realty. He told you that the proceeds of Saitama Realty were going to benefit Saitama, the token. He told you that the proceeds coming from Saitama EDU were going to benefit Saitama. He told you that the Wolfcaster, which I'll talk about in a second, was going to benefit Saitama. He told you that ultimately the benefits of Saitama were coming from these efforts from a development perspective on all these different things other than just the natural token itself. How can it not be a security? And that's the case that's been made here against the cult leader. But I said, despite him being enriched, I suspect he was the mark. I say they put him there having a history of being associated with pump and dumps, thus having experience doing it, but also letting him take the fall as the face of the brand. In the case document, he stated as the chief executive officer. He told you and on the site that he was the chief operating officer. You can't be both. If you're chief executive officer, the buck stops with you, bro. If you're chief operating officer, somebody else might be calling the shots. Remember, the Saitama team told you that everybody, all of them, Nam, Max, Russ, all Aaron, all of them together collectively made decisions, that it was a joint decision, that there was no one authority on it, yet Russ is the only one that's in front of it. Russ is the only one giving messaging. Russ is the only one giving dates. How do you explain that? He was the mark. They set him up to fail. He got the money, so they justified it by saying, you're paid, bro, but we need a fall guy. We need a mark to take the brunt of this. And I suspect he got set up because they knew he was going to get cash. That was going to help him get caught easier. And the people that left were going to let him fall on his sword. I think this, Tim Folder, you might. I think everybody else around this dude knew the government's going to come down on this at some point. We got to get off this business. I can't prove it, but the evidence seems to stack up. I got more, folks. August 24th, 2021, the filing formation, Saitama LLC in Massachusetts, domestic limited liability company. The registered agent, Max Hernandez, aka Max Equation. Max Equation set as the registered agent. Now, anybody can be a registered agent. You could be your own registered agent. The registered agent simply means any sort of legal documentation, anything that's a legal nature, is routed to the registered agent on behalf of the business. That means that if anybody was coming after Saitama, those docs would have gone to Max Equation. During the time, this is August now, so during the time allegedly they're developing this Cytomask, we expect they got no sort of legal documentation. They got no sort of legal notification. They didn't receive any documentation whatsoever from any legal entity whatsoever, even as a warning. No Wells, no nothing. We expect they got nothing, okay? If that's the case, I look at the filing. Another name listed is Gabriel Klein. For those that don't remember, Gabriel Klein was involved in the project at a very early phase. I forget when he dropped out, but he was there at a very early phase. He's based out of Brazil, at least now. I don't know if he was at the time, but he's still in some way associated with what would become Cytochain because he's still active on social media, still retweeting all things Cytochain. That tells me he's somehow associated, but he doesn't speak out like he used to. At the time, he was speaking from a stance of somehow being associated with marketing. Marketing the project, marketing what it was doing, and getting the right contacts and people. He used to work at Vice Media. So you think Vice.com and all the Vice programming that happens. He used to work at Vice Media. And I'm pretty sure he was always based out of Brazil. So I questioned then how he was listed. He was listed as a managing member of Saitama LLC when it was formed in August. That would have put him in a leadership role. There was also Harun Mohsini, which I had never even heard of. Manny the Hitman, Max Equation, Nam, Russ Armand, whose name is wrong, and then Steve Oshing, and I don't remember which Steve this is. The point, though, this formation for Saitama LLC, Massachusetts, in August 24, they announced when they were doing this, by the way, and they announced it that they were wanting to put some legitimacy around the project and around what they were doing, just like Terrarium did, just like Lily Finance did. All these LLCs, what they were really intending to do was to hide, not hide, but to obfuscate the contact information for the various people to make it harder to trace down exactly who's doing what. If you have a bunch of managing members on the different LLCs, you don't really know whose throat to choke when something goes south. That's why I gave the point up front about Max Equation being listed as a registered agent, because I find that mighty funny. Why would Max Equation, who has no legal background whatsoever, be the person to receive any sort of legal correspondence related to Saitama LLC? Perhaps they only put Max Equation on the registered agent documentation as a front. Perhaps they only did that to have him just say, okay, yeah, we got this and whatever, and respond with BS and deflect. Perhaps the reason that Max Equation left was he got something that made him a little bit nervous and said, it's time for me to kind of get the hell out of here. Do, do, do. I can't say for sure. I am going to say, I find it mighty funny that Max Equation is the registered agent for an LLC that has Gabe Klein out of Brazil, and Gabe didn't seem to really do anything except possibly communications. I don't have any evidence of any of it. I'm putting together, some of this is kind of sketchy when you read between the lines of what the case is implying and who might have done what. And Gabe was not listed in the case document either by name or unindicted co-conspirator. Is it possible that Gabe is one of the people that spoke up about what was going on? If that's the case, why is he still retweeting Cytochain stuff? Possibly, if Gabe got out long before everything started to crash and burn. Is it possible that Gabe got out because he saw it was sketchy business, saw that Manny the rug puller was trying to turn it around, got intrigued again, and decided to just be a supporter off in the distance without really being involved in the project? I can't say what's happening. I'm just spitballing here. Then we talk numbers, right? They gave a breakdown of the sales that happened from these people in charge of this business, that being Cult Leader, Max Equation, Manny the rug puller, and Nam Tran. You'd be surprised to understand that Manny the rug puller made over $22 million on Saitama because he was dumping on your head between June and the 2021. So throughout the failed November 13th Vegas event, all the way through the end of May 2022, when they started to unravel this. By that point, the pockets were already fat. That helps to explain why it was Manny the Rug Puller who eventually would stand up and create this CIDA chain and a layer zero blockchain out of thin air, which is very expensive, by the way. That means most likely, I have no evidence, but most likely that the layer zero blockchain created for CIDA chain was created using your money without your permission. You didn't have any input into this because the money that he would have taken from these sales that the case is calling out likely went towards the layer zero blockchain without your authorization. Now, if he had sold tokens and people bought it from him, that's a normal transaction. The problem is it's brokered from a pump and dump scheme. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The pump and dump scheme is what makes it problematic. You have a scheme to pump the price of the token such that it triggers FOMO for people to get in. Later, and I talked about this on the V coverage, cult leader Russ was actually the one who was right in front of a lot of the pumps we would later see. He was the one advertising in secret channels called shill groups to push the token's price to get a lot of people to buy in, whether it was from humans or from bots, working with FAM to try to flush that whale out. Russ was the one right in front of that business. So we have to look at the big picture of why I keep emphasizing that I believe cult leader was the mark. They saw somebody with an experience in pump and dump strategies. They brought him on board to this token to do it again. They found a whale at some point, likely caused, can't confirm, likely caused by VFAM's early sell of the tokens to people, wanted to get the whale out of there, were successful to get the whale out of there, and then just kept on going with the scam. Told you about a Cytomass that didn't really exist. Used Jake again as the mark. Used Lily Finance, another pump and dump scheme off the side to entice it. Enticed a bunch of doctors who later would spin up Terrarium, which ended up being a pump and dump effectively. The doctors, whether they knew or not, the point is they contributed to some of the money movement, the significant money movement that contributed to the crash and burn. Remember, the Tama had billions and billions of dollars flowing through it at one point, largely driven off of FOMO, but also driven off the scam that happened. When people tell me that this guy Russ was their savior and this guy Russ was the leader, the cult leader that they praised and they celebrated, they've got to understand at the end of the day, you can celebrate whoever you want. The guy lied to you. He lied to you multiple times. Multiple people called it out. He lied to you about having not sold anything. He lied to you about the real nature of Lily Finance. He lied to you about not being involved with Lily Finance. He lied to you about where he came from, that being Hoge Finance. He lied to you about his education. He lied to you about the root of the pumps that we saw. He lied to you about Cytomass. They lied when they did the Times Square posting. He lied to you at the event and then lied to you months after the event saying it's good to go, it's about to be good to go, and certain do. The guy lied to you more than people get dressed in the evenings. I am saying he was a liar, but I'm also stressing, tenfold though I might be, I think he was the mark. I think they set him in the position to be that front liar to hide the real scams going on so that nobody paid attention to the real scams going on in back office deals brokered by Telescam. And the reason I call it Telescam is because it enabled them to do that. Fortunately, the government was smart enough to have an insider in there to collect up all this data around what cult leader was doing in his shill group. I suspect, and I don't know, one of these people, they got an ethical, it's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. This is wrong. I see this bullshit going on. I got to deal with this stuff, and decided to speak up. Kudos to that person, but look at how much damage was done along the way. Look at how much was harmed. Look at how many people were harmed about this business with what he was doing. So now, after all the fallout, after the failed event and the crash and burn and the mask isn't working and Max Equations leaved and all this, then comes the whole Christina and the subcult and the allegations that cult leader was working with Christina's friend and they had a threesome agreement and he was smoking crack and do whatever. Point is, now it craps and that's the point where it never had recovered in the form of Saitama. It had never recovered because of what was going on there, because you saw this guy had lost major amounts of weight. He looked nothing like he did before. He was all cleaned up, trying to be like a baller out there with this chick. It was obvious he was doing something. He was snorting and sniffing like crazy on the videos. Clearly something had changed. And people knew this dude is just living fat off the hog, off our money. That's really what had happened this entire time. Then the lies came up about the degree and everything else, and people started to try to put it together, but they never had until this case the real understanding of how bad it was. Because when cult leader was kicked out, he essentially was kicked out. It's 2023. They put out an announcement saying he's leaving. He goes off to do that VZZN business. I'm not even going to get into it because it's a waste of time. But then when the case comes up and I'm seeing, essentially, this dude was right in the front of all the pumps that we saw, of all the shill that we saw, of all the hype. He's a hypester. That's what he was. He was a hypester. He was the one hyping and pumping the token. And he was doing it again for Cider Realty. He was doing it to some limited degree until he got cut with Lillian Finance. He had been doing it with Hoge Finance. He was doing it all over. Like, you think about a car salesman, right? Seifu. Car salesman, Brian Legend, Brian Saylor. I mean, I thought he was bad in his body count of how many tokens the guy has straight taken money from, and the fact that he hides overseas so that he doesn't get taken. I got to give him his flowers, because he's clearly very smart, because he wasn't so stupid as to stay living in the United States while pulling off the scam after scam after scam. He's staying overseas doing his scam, but now we have to see the big picture of it. We have to see the, geez, car salesman on Seifu, cult leader on Saitama. They are one and the same. They are kindred spirits. They are doing that. They had done the same damn thing. They might actually be in cahoots. I don't know that, but it's possible. I mean, damn, car salesman 2.0 on LockPay, car salesman 3.0 on SafeJet. They all are doing the same thing, where I speculated somebody is behind it. Somebody's pushing that. As a true, I saw an interview and they were talking about how certain people see Floyd Mayweather and how wealthy he is. It was Lord Jamar on Vlad. And he was talking about people that think Floyd is rich, they don't understand. Let's understand the person who's paying Floyd. That's the person that's rich, right? Maybe it's that. Maybe somebody's really else pulling the strings that's got the money, and they're just coercing these people to take the fall. At different points, they're the ones getting beat up. But the real bad actors are behind these guys. Might be the government. I don't think so. I think there's somebody that's above all of these together. Because Para Inu, it did the same damn thing. Para Inu, for those that don't know the story, when that damn thing launched, crazy amounts, unreasonable pumps. I remember Del Rugpull, aka Del Crypto, was in that at that point when it first started up. But unreasonable levels of pump. And then it crapped. And I remember speaking, I openly went into their forums and I'm telling them, look, this is, I see how to get this back on track. The first thing you need to do is to focus on your brand and start reaching out to those military folks. If you really are serious about what you're doing, they came back and said, we're just going to get on these shillers. Deep, deep, deep. Just, they're just going to go after shillers. They can hire all these shillers. I don't know specifically all they contacted, but I'm pretty sure Jake Game was one of them. The point is that they chose to contact shillers. What they said then later, it crapped. It climbed a little bit and then it crapped. And what they said was one of these shillers essentially bought a major bag and then waited for it to pump and then completely crapped out on them. I told them that's going to happen. You knew that was going to happen. You did the wrong strategy. All of them do the same thing, which is we just have to trigger a pump. That's the pattern. We just got to trigger a pump here, right? Mononoke, Suzuki, Hoge, made a bull run, Terrarium, Lillian, Cider Realty, Saitama, all of Shinja, Shibnobi, all of them, Shirio, all of them. They just want to trigger a pump and then people get sold out and then kind of cross fingers that it's going to keep on running due to what? Artificial bull, Kuma Inu, same thing. This goes back to the Leica thing I did where they're calling out this, you're just ripping people off. It's just pumping dumps. That's all you're doing. So is it possible that cult leader, because we knew that he was behind Suzuki. We knew that. We proved that. We knew he was associated with Hoge. We couldn't directly connect it, but his name's on some of the information. Hoge admits being a pump and dump, or at least planned to be a pump and dump at a point. Laker planned to be a pump and dump at a point. Is it possible that cult leader somehow worked with V, and V was somehow associated with a lot of these pump and dumps, and he just got, he again, he was the mark. He fell in for the lure of the money. If it's true, this is Christina said it, if it's true that cult leader and Christina were flat broke, can you imagine the temptation when you're presented with an offer from somebody who allegedly can give you an in to a pump and dump scheme? But you got to think, if V is in a place where she's got some way to stay reasonably safe. Now, she was in the U.S., but the point is, if she's got some way to get off the lam, but they know they're going to come after cult leader and everybody else and have them be the fall guys, is it possible he just got charged? Remember I said, and if you didn't listen for a while, by the way, welcome. But I said in an old episode, somebody's got to be consulting these people on these scams. Somebody's got to be behind pulling the strings, telling them what to do, telling them how, setting them up to fail, whether they're doing it for their own motivation or they're aligned with the government or they're aligned with the mob or they're whatever. Somebody's got to be behind all this shit where they're telling them to do these things that don't make any damn sense because all of them do the same thing. Now hearing that cult leader was doing the exact same thing as everybody else, and not only that, but doing it in a stupid way. They basically banked on telescam to keep them safe, and then now learned it didn't keep you safe. Dumping tokens, knowing you're going to get caught, bro. Blockchain cannot lie. So why would, do you see what I'm saying? Like, is somebody really that damn stupid that you're not going to get caught when blockchain does not lie and multiple people traced it and saw you sold tokens? I saw you sent money to Lily Finance. We knew money went to Hoge Finance. We knew some of the money went to Cider Realty. We see the money's flowing from wallets you called out. So why are you claiming that you're not doing these things? That's the same damn thing as the car salesman on Seifu. To be so damn stupid, like, there's no, from my perspective, there's no common sense to the behaviors of the scammers. I expect scammers to have some more common sense. That's why I'm tinfoiling it, that somebody's got to be telling them what to do, and they're setting them up to fail, whether for their personal gain or otherwise. Because what I saw from cult leader made no sense in the big picture of it. It made no sense. I don't know. I think cult leader was the mark. I think he was enticed for the opportunity to make some money, get further out of the financial pit that he was allegedly in. I think he fell. He took the forbidden apple. He got in and he got in too deep. I think with the whole, you know, cheating and the mistress and the coke and all that shit is due to stress, because he knew this is going to fall apart. Because, you know, that happens, right? Wolf of Wall Street. It happens. Every time you get to some level and you're not ready for that, you ain't about that life. It's going to fall around you like a house of cards. I think he got in, got too deep in, got left to swim, sink or swim with the sharks. People started abandoning and jumping ship. Willie D, I think he got out before something would have come on him. Because if Willie D had stayed in there, I think Willie D would have become the fall guy, because that's where they were setting him up to be. There was points, if you remember, Willie D was putting out messaging saying, I don't know what's going on. I have no authority. I have no clue. I'm kind of blind here and I'm not comfortable with this. Steve Rocket Crypto, same thing. I don't know what's going on. I got some theories. He's the one that went to Rodney's channel and said, I don't see this is happening with the mask and I'm not comfortable. And then he's out. I think if either of those two had stayed, Russ, at some point, cult leader would have said, we got to put these, you got to shift the smoke. Got to push it over here because I see it coming down and I'm kind of nervous, and somebody would have put him up on game. Perhaps somebody put him up on game, but by that point it was too late because Aaron was already gone. All you had was Manny the Rug Puller, Nam, and Russ at a point. So if Manny the Rug Puller, he's off on the side and he's doing his own shit to get ready for what would become Side of Chain coin. And Nam is just kind of sitting waiting to see who's going to win, right? He's kind of saying, whatever, I'm just whatever until somebody figures it out. And then what happens? He jumped on Side of Chain coin after cult leader was out of the Saitama project. Again, I'm just spitballing, folks. This is all tinfoil. I don't have any evidence of it, but there, where there's smoke, there's fire. We have to understand together, how can it be? How can it be? If you look at the numbers that were sold out, this is Saitama that I refer to when I say sold out. If you look at the numbers each person got in their dumping of the tokens, Russ got the lowest amount of takeaway. He only got $2 million. I say only, but still, for him, having been broke, that's what we were told, he was broke. That's what Christina said. If they were broke and they suddenly got $2 million, can you imagine going from near bankruptcy? Because that's what she said. I don't know if she's telling the truth. I'm going off what she said. If they were near broke, bankrupt, and you get a windfall of $2 million, and all he had to do was put his face up on the camera, put his hands under his chin, and lie to you with a straight face on a repeated basis and go on softball channels because CryptoBollocks would refuse to give him any hardball questions, he's part to blame for what happened with the cult leader. Same with Awesome Austin. He's part to blame for what happened with the cult leader. So if we're saying this guy only got $2 million, Nam got almost $15 million. Max Equation, who ain't do shit, got almost $11 million. And Manny the Rug Puller, who essentially ended up with the whole enterprise, got $22 million. Manny the Rug Puller didn't do shit, but yet he got the most. Max Equation got almost, actually got five times what cult leader got, and Max Equation didn't do anything. He was up on videos looking like a blistering idiot. This guy got paid almost $11 million to look like a clown. I want you to put yourself in the seats, right? You are just, all you have to do is show up on a video where you're taking flack because you can't deliver a software product. And all you got to do is just shrug and apologize and say, it's coming, got delayed. That's all you got to do for an hour a day. And you bank $11 million for that shit. Think, okay? There's no other explanation other than these guys got major bags. The pump happened. They knew what they were doing, allegedly to get rid of the whale. They kept on going. They realized they were sitting on major amounts and dumped on you all the way through. And they did it over time. They didn't just, you know, collapse it because they knew the liquidity wouldn't sustain. They did it over time. So they might've done month after month, after month, after month, draining it, not draining the liquidity, draining by virtue of the fact that people stopped buying in. Once you got near November, it's going to hit that peak, right? And it's going to stop. And then some people are selling out, buy the rumors, sell the news. We see Jake Gage drunk and we see it's a shit show and there's no mask and we see all the failures. Okay. Now people are starting to get out of the project. Of course, you have the reflection. So the holder count doesn't drop, but we know what it is by the how many tokens they still hold that they dumped out of the project. But they, we knew this because Christina had shown pictures of what they bought. They were dumping off the project. And as part of the pumps, the value that they had was significant because they were holding trillions to quadrillions of the supply between just the four of them. So that it had 100 quadrillion at its peak. I'm pretty sure it burned half of it. So let's say 50 quadrillion. 50 quadrillion of supply between just three of them. Just three of them. Okay? They had 10% of what was left over. And then Russ, cult leader, had 300 trillion at the time they were selling. We don't know how much they were left with. And mind you, this is before they did the V2 where they reissued the tokens. Remember on the V2, the V2 gets rolled and not everybody gets tokens. Remember on the V2, they said, quote, no Wolfpack member left behind. We're not going to turn the contract live until everybody's got their tokens, and they turned it live anyway. And when the chart, you saw the graph and it did a pump and dump, everything, folks, everything comes full circle. We understand. We understand that they're essentially scammers, but they're the dumbest set of mother, father, and scammers I think I've ever encountered. I've been an auditor. They're stupid. I said this too. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're incompetent. They didn't even understand how to do it right. Either that or they were so brazen. And maybe it's that because we know Manny the Rug Puller has an ego problem. Maybe they were just so brazen that they thought they would never get caught, like a catch me if you can. Or they said, we didn't break any law. Well, you broke a law when you launched Cider Realty. Because when, and I said that back when they announced it, I told them, you just set yourself up for blatant failure, because right now you're essentially making promises your ass can't keep. Before that, though, they told you that the CYTA mask was going to help the value of the Saitama token. They told you CYTA EDU was going to do something. They told you that Wolfcaster was going to do something. They told you all these project things were going to help pump the price of the token. And we would learn on the V case document that that's what the SEC is looking for to determine a security in their own discretion. So I wanted to come back, and this doesn't directly correlate to Cult Leader, but I want to come back to it because it's important to understand how deep this really went. Now we're going back into September. So this is before the failed November 13th Vegas event. When Saitama announced they were going to get into gaming, they said, we're going to get into games, we're going to get into NFTs, and one of the companies that they said they're going to work with is Blaze Fire Games and esports. The reason that I wanted to talk about this and talk about it last, I did an episode, it is one of the Out of Cycles, where I talked about the allegations that Bolt, the project, Bolt and Saitama, to a lesser degree, were strategically targeting minorities. And they were trying to get the wealth from minorities. They were trying to entice them to buy into the project. So I'm talking in terms of this pump and shill and hype, that the things they were doing were slanted towards minority groups, both Hispanics as well as Black Americans. The partnership with Blaze Fire Games, the reason that it stands out is that Blaze Fire Games are aligned with historically Black colleges and universities. Again, what was planned, I shouldn't say was, but what was planned was that the historically Black colleges and university facilities were going to support the CYTA EDU messaging to provide cryptocurrency education, that they would hold esports events and leagues, that they would help educate minorities about financial possibilities of cryptocurrency and how to do it, all using Saitama as the token, which allegedly would be on CytaMask and used to transact the other different tokens that you might want instead of having to have gas. I'm saying that the statements made is that the whole gaming thing was connected to the EDU together as one partnership, strategically targeting minorities, in this case, Black Americans. I don't know that that was really the impetus behind it. I will say that I believe this is right around the time that either Willie D and or Steve Rocket Crypto left the brand. It's right around this time. I'm trying to recall, and it's difficult to remember, but I remember at the time one or both of them left around. I know Willie D, you know, the announcement went up on CoinMarketCap and he decided to leave because of this. I'm trying to remember if the timing correlated to this September date, and I don't remember, but I am saying that the Blaze Fire Games, from everything I saw, appears to have been strategic around minority groups. The target to minority groups is part of the reason that there was so much pushback when it failed. Because when you do the Vegas failed Vegas event, many of those same people could not attend the event. But when they see it's an unprofessional shit show and they realize that their money's just being used to get people rich off the hog, and they see Russ Cult Leader flossing his Lambo, and they see his wife flossing the land and the truck, they're like, okay, we know what the game is. I'm saying now that, and he pled guilty, did Cult Leader. So he pled guilty. I'm saying, though, I would not be surprised if something were to happen to the Cult Leader at some point because of everything that's come out in the case document, everything we saw during this whole fiasco. You got to understand that if you end up in some sort of facility with certain of a demographic that they think you've screwed them in some way, it doesn't bode well for you, especially when you target young people. It doesn't, there's somewhat of a code of honor in some of that. So I'm saying, without predicting, this is my theory, it wouldn't surprise me if something were to happen to him, unless he's kept in some sort of solitary during this whole journey. And if he's let out, you better watch his ass, because I think he's still in Texas, as far as I know. Anyhow, the Cult Leader, again, pled guilty to to the charges. So he admits being a scammer. He knew that. I suspect he started out, he got tempted by VFAM. She's not that attractive, but he got tempted by VFAM. Per Christina, they were flat broke, damn near bankrupt. That's what she said. They had nothing. So if that's true, that means the Lambo didn't exist at that time. They get into this pump and dump scheme. He's fresh off another pump and dump scheme that wants to go legit. He gets into this one that's going to turn into a pump and dump scheme. Banks $2 million leading up to the failed November 13th Vegas event off fake artificial pumps and dumps. Goes up on videos repeatedly and lies to your face about what's going on. Uses money, your money, on another rug pull Suzuki. Uses your money on another essential rug pull, as in Lily Finance. Potentially, can't prove it, don't know. Potentially partners up with these doctors on Terrarium, which ended up being a rug pull. All I'm saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. It doesn't matter if you are intentionally doing something. It just matters if you are associated with something that is a scam. That's the measure. Are you associated with something that you're a scam? And in this case, he has pled guilty to being associated to something that was a scam. He has pled guilty to charges that he contributed to why it was a scam. Now, how much that goes beyond what was stated in the case, we're not going to know unless somebody else drops the dime. Maybe he drops the dime in exchange for less time. I don't know. I am saying that the cult leader of all of them, because of all of them, he was the one that, and you can hear it in my coverage, he was the one that I had the least amount of respect for, because it's obvious the dude's lying to your face. And would you rather have somebody that lies to your face or stabs you in the back? It's the quintessential question. But in this case, he did both, right? So that's where we are with this. And Manny the Rug Puller, who I can't do next. I'm sorry. Next has to be Max Equation, because Max Equation's name is on more stuff than I thought it should be, given I thought he was just a developer. So there's more to him. And perhaps he was the ringleader all the time because everything crashed after he left. I don't know, but we're going to dig into that, because now that we've understood that the cult leader likely was the mark because he made a fraction of what the others made. He was the face of the brand and took all the beatings in front of it. Apparently got stressed out, killed his relationship, turned to coke. I think he was the mark. I think they set him up to fail. And they let him fall with his piddly $2 million while the rest of them banked $20 million. I can't say for sure. I'm saying the numbers don't seem to lie in who really made out like a bandit, that being the other three. One of them we are going to talk about, that being Max Equation, because we need to now understand what the fuck was his involvement in this fiasco.